Again, thank you for joining the ESBC Podcast Network. And this is going to be on the sports betting and financial side. As we've said from the beginning, that when you wager on a game, it is similar to or exactly like a securities contract. All right. So every meeting has to have a purpose and an outcome. The purpose of the podcast is for us to make money, for me to make money. The second purpose of the podcast is to educate you so you make money in the sports betting market. And then the third purpose of the podcast, we always do a mental health first aid kit. Now, we are going to start a series that I feel is going to be one of the best podcasts of all time. Sometimes the best thing for you is the worst thing for you. Now, we have a gentleman, Greg Wolf from the Wolf Line, and I've had a couple conversations with him, and we agree on everything 100%, right? So this podcast is going to be an introductory podcast, and then we'll start a master class on, from a macro perspective, business, finance. I have 2 degrees. I have an MBA. I have a master's in business science. I had a restaurant in Pinellas Park, Florida that I invested $8,000 in. 5 years later, I sold it for $600,000, right? And we have Greg that we'll introduce Greg. And Greg is a Renaissance man. First conversation I had with him, he lives and breathes an Ivy League professor from Wharton, better than Wharton, right? You told me that some guy said the education they get from you, Greg, was better, faster, more functional than Wharton.
Yeah, that was not my comment, but it was said. There's a lot of things that I've discussed that you'll never get, paying $70,000 a year at Wharton or the Stern School or Booth School of Economics at Chicago, business. University of Chicago or any of that, because what I talk about is, as we discussed before, it's kind of a new subset of economics called gamification economics. My background is, I was born and raised in New Jersey. So of course I had a bookmaker since I was a young kid. I mean, that's basically the same as growing up in Georgia and picking peaches, you know? So I started off with that. And then, at a certain point, you're running your own book. And then I was at the old Garden State Racetrack, where I became very interested in the behavioral economics aspect of the markets. They call the horse track, the poor man's stock market. And right. Then I was in California, and my friend who was trading on the Amex at the time, which isn't even there anymore, the building, I think it's a Dave and Buster's and a massage parlor in New York. Right. He was making markets in a couple different issues, Amgen, AOL, and he called me up to come back east to get involved in, options trading. And at that time was when the whole E-Trade revolution was happening. Everything was going electronic, and there was a huge paradigm shift there. So I landed on a buy side prop options trading desk. I became one of the first registered market makers on the International Securities Exchange, which was the first electronic options exchange in the U.S. And then from there, I went into the educational side, dealing with hedge funds, also dealing with the retail side. And then I was a registered investment advisor. And after that, towards the end of the 2000s, when everything was kind of getting a little strange with monetary policy manipulation, everything right. like that in the traditional markets, I kind of just backed everything. Cause when I started trading and learning all the terminology and the concepts and the strategies and everything, I thought to myself, and that's one of the things I want to put forth here and impress upon people, is a lot of people don't know how much they actually know about trading financial markets just from trading or regulating in sports markets, and that's something that I also want us to really concentrate on is the from the educational side there. But I already knew all the concepts just for my previous history, but I didn't want to say anything because, of course, I thought that that was illicit, and now I was in quote-unquote legitimate markets. But it took me not too long to figure out that traditional financial markets are infinitely more shady than, say, sports. And just for the sheer aspect of sports are much more transparent in terms of everything is on video, live and recorded video. So, you know, that can be used as a, certainly a tool of transparency and to be, you know, completely on the up and up. And I think that where we're going with that is a federal is a federal regulatory situation. The bets, as per the SEC versus Howey 1946, are by definition securities. So the SEC will end up dropping the penny and being the regulatory body of this federally. It's obviously a federal issue. The state by state deal that's going on right now, I think it's a waste of time. It's the same thing that happened between 1911 and 1933 right. with investment contracts, and then that led to the Federal Securities Act of 1933, and then the creation of the SEC in 1934. I think that we're chapter and verse doing that again, and you saw that with the Orrin Hatch, Chuck Schumer, you know, presentation to go federal, and then Hatch retired, and then Schumer did another one with Mitt Romney. So it's going that way. All they have to do is just flip the switch and make a new, you know, make a sports section of securities law, because all the laws.
Yeah, I want to touch on that because we educate a lot, right? So you go Orrin Hatch, Mormon, likes to bet on fights in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Who replaces him is Mitt Romney, Mormon, who likes to go bet on fights in Vegas. And of course, we know, if you read the book, The Triple Package. I like The Triple Package, written by Amy Schumer out of Princeton, New Jersey, because she says that the two groups per capita who have the most money in the United States are the Cubans and the Mormons. And me being Cuban, right? I'm like, oh, all right, great research there. But the Mormons are number two as far as money per capita. In actual dollars, they have more money than the Catholic Church in the United States, not just per capita.
Right.
But I'd like to back up, because something very interesting in talking to you the other day is that you are a Renaissance guy. And like me, I've lived in New York City a couple of years, lived in Boston a couple of years. Now I'm back on the West Coast. You are also because I always say, when you listen to a podcast, guys just start talking, right? And like, who the hell are these people and why should we listen to them? And you have a fascinating story. You were in the military, you were a bouncer, so you're a tough guy too. So you got the brains and the brawn. Not only are you like in a college professor now, you can write a curriculum for a major university, the Ivy League, but you're also in your younger years, there is a tough guy to you, you know, and you were able to survive, right? You were able to go from bookmaking in the racetracks as a kid to a successful career in the Navy.
Well, I just kind of meandered as the river took me at that time, you know, like in my 20s. And it was certainly, you know, not a bad gig for a while to be working down at in Pacific Beach, you know, working the door at a bar down there at night. And because the particular bar that I worked, this was during like the grunge years, you know, Ocean Beach, which was beautiful. And, you know, the job that the door, you know, the bar that I worked the door, was kind of a rough spot. So, you know, we got paid really well. And, you know, it worked. And at the time I was going to school and, as at the same time and, you know, playing football and, you know, it was, you know, who doesn't want to do that and live at the beach when you're in your 20s.
You play football at USD, right? University of San Diego?
No. At a place called Humboldt State University.
Oh, Humboldt State. That's right.
Yeah. I played junior college ball in San Diego, and then I moved up to Humboldt State.
And Humboldt State is next to Murder Mountain, right?
It's a horse. I know Horse Mountain is right there. And it's you're in the Six Rivers area, so it's like an hour south of the Oregon border, an hour south of Crescent City.
Nice. And one thing that struck me is that, you know, here on the podcast, we've always been early adopters. We were using Zoom back in September, and you know, since reading the book Future Sense, right? In having that conversation with me, it struck because you have always been, in your career, from what I heard, you've always been ahead of the curve.
To my detriment here, it's been really difficult to be frustrating for right. everybody to kind of catch up with the inevitable migration to the quantitative analytics paradigm shift in that model that's happening in sports, and with sports being the underlying instrument, and with inevitably sports being again, you know, federally regulated. And and it's interesting that we're going in this direction right now, because just recently, I'm not sure if you know this or not, but the online brokerages had had a record-breaking quarter last quarter.
Oh, yeah,
with
that.
New signups. And it was because it was basically kind of a cause and effect deal, because there was no sports to bet on. So Schwab got 700,000 new signups. Ameritrade got around 700,000 new signups. E-Trade got something like 400,000 new signups. They all did. And it was because people, they needed action. I mean, people need action. That's all there is to it. The human species is a speculative, creature. You know what I mean? We
absolutely
like to speculate. It's just part of how we're hardwired. So, you know, the thing about it is that people are speculating now in financials. They used to do in sports, and then there's the crossover is obvious. And the good thing about what we do is, you know, we realize the fungibility of the two, not 50% or 90%, but 100%. And if you know what you're looking for, you're going to find it in sports and be able to make that crossover and that degree of relevance to the financial markets. And it can go, can be as simple as a pairs trade, you know, which is, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. A pair trade, you're long team A, you're buying team A and you're selling team B, you know, something like that. And the arc of sophistication and education and knowledge is so broad that we could go from there, or I could go all the way to sophisticated option strategies and volatility trading and, you know, ETFs and everything else. And, you know, it all applies 100%. And that's the interesting part.
The same way you pick, and I've been saying this from the beginning, we use business and financial concepts to predict the outcome of the game, right? So we talk about what the purpose of the podcast is. What has the outcome been so far? The outcome is, and you can listen to all the podcasts, and I encourage you to do so, pull out your phone and look at the outcomes of the games. We've been between 70 and 80%. We finished on a 41-6 roll when everything shut down, when we ended up picking Washington State plus 13 of the Pac-12 tournament, right? So what does that mean? That means is that 52.5% is break even. So between 52.5%, betting on games, up to 80%, you make the money on the margin. But it's not that, it's entertainment value. So my definition of value, which has come straight out of the book, it's an equation, and I'm sure Greg will appreciate, is psychological factors plus functional factors divided by time and money, all right? So I just gave you a raw outline. Now, psychological factor is that my wife has not bought two things, right? An expensive purse or shoes or gas that hasn't been from betting money, because betting money goes first in a marriage. I've been married 18 years. And the other day she said, where's the betting money? I know there's no sports, but I know you have money there. I'm going to buy an expensive purse. She bought her expensive purse. So from a logical, psychological standpoint, there's a lot of Lifetime movies that I've avoided because she's like, oh, you're watching that game? Okay, good. You're monetizing it, all right?
Yeah, you're working. Basically, you're working.
Yeah.
You're working. It's your job at that point. Right.
Exactly.
I mean, there's not what and what's more enjoyable, and again, just to make it this perfectly clear, the wolfline.com doesn't say to do anything. We're completely market agnostic. We just produce our own data and our own tools. So basically we're in the camp of, you know, we teach a fish. It's all about education and then giving the practical tools and then going from that to that. So we teach a man how to fish, we give him the rod and the reel, and we say, go catch fish. Some people are going to be able to catch more fish than others. That's right. Just the way that things work. They're going to have the same rod and reel, they're going to have the same knowledge, but they're just going to catch more fish. So if you have a fisherman that knows how to fish but doesn't have a rod and reel, that's no good. And if you have a fisherman that doesn't know how to fish but has a rod and reel, that's also no good. So you need both to go together. And
exactly.
What that leads to, and what that leads to is, and this is something that everybody should pay attention to, kind of, our job is to create volume. And volume is what drives everything and makes everybody a winner. And it's not only just the bookmaker, which is the same as a broker-dealer in financial markets. They can either be the principal or the agent, a transaction. But also, it's good for the customer, because when volume increases, and that increases when you have access to quantitative analytics like the Wolfline, because we don't care about the sport. It doesn't matter. It can be NFL. It can be chess. It can be snooker. It can be the rugby league in Australia, whatever, cricket. There are nuances, a little bit nuances, but it's the same thing as, you know, trading Amazon stock versus trading and soybeans. One is, you know, Amazon stock is more sexy, but they still are beholden to the laws of the market, you know, and that's the way that goes. But you know, you have but the way that everything comes together is that volume, well, once that goes up to a certain amount, and this was bore out by the what happened in the 1990s, as retail got more educated and then they got access to tools for technical analysis, for quantitative analytics and knowledge and things like that. The volume on the NYSE went up 2,000% on the New York Stock Exchange, 20 times in in less than 15 years. And when that happened, margins come in, and that means that you're paying less juice. So say we live in a -110 world right now, and like you said, 52.4% is what you have to beat in order to be profitable. You know, it's not out of the realm that as, you know, the quantitative analytics model, it gets accepted and it becomes just part of the model that everyone is using.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're gonna have an increase in volume, and that comes in, and next thing you know, you only have to beat 50.24% instead of 52.4%. You know, and
the
hole becomes much less.
Right. Yeah. And that's the difference between the Wolfline and us. But there really isn't a difference, because we don't want you to just have a fish. We want you to learn how to fish, and then number two, have a good time. Entertainment value is very important, because if you have that profit built in, you're not gripping, right, about one game, and you're not going crazy, and then you're depressed because you lost. No, you're betting 10 games, you're winning 6 or 7, you have your profit, and you're having a good time.
Well, and that's again, that's the what we look at as well, again, with the gamification economics, bringing Wall Street into the sports bar. And that's pretty much the key there. It's much more, and you know, the analogy is pure, and it's much more enjoyable, and you can call it edutainment. You know, that's another word that is in vogue right now. But, right. You know, it's much more enjoyable to be in your local sports bar or, you know, down in your man cave or whatever with, you know, some beer and some wings and you know, maybe a pretty girl bringing you, being your waitress,
exactly.
You know, to have a trade on where you're, you know, long the Patriots and short the Steelers, as opposed to being in some cubicle somewhere trading / betting foreign exchange where you're long the US dollar and you're short the euro or whatever have you, you know.
Right. So from a macro point of view, I want to take a step back and educate the public exactly what is going on with the sports betting market and why two reasons I'm thinking that's expanding, right? If you can explain to folks what happened with PASPA and how it's now legal in 22 states. And one key point is how you are ahead of the curve. You already explained it earlier in the podcast, but I want to hammer this home. You're ahead of the curve because you're understanding how things, because really high level intelligence, some people would say, Einstein would say, is situational intelligence, right? You know what to do now, right? Einstein, the whole story of Einstein was, assistant was carrying a bunch of final exams and the assistant said to Einstein, hey, Einstein, you're a brilliant professor, but I took this exam last year and all the questions are the same exact questions that you did last year. There's a lot of cheating going on here, you know, and Einstein said, well, the answers have changed. So what's going to happen in the betting market this year is going to be very, very different from what I'm hearing what's going to happen in the next couple of years. So if you can give us a background on, I think it's PASPA where there was only originally four states. It's kind of crazy, right? When in the pandemic, it's kind of brought this home, right? How we kind of live in a healthy denial where we're not. And this is another thing that Greg and I agree on, that we are going to be as blunt and as honest as we can be with the truth. We don't have a monopoly on the truth, but we're just going to give it to you raw, all right? And we're not going to hold anything back. We're going to be as honest as possible. And we don't like living in denial, and I don't think Greg believes in Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny more than I do, right? And you find out how chaotic and crazy the world is, right? But if you watch the Game of Thrones, Littlefinger came up in the world saying, you know, chaos is a ladder. So knowing what happened in the background where you have this crazy law where sports gambling is out of 50 states, only four can gamble. And then Chris Christie.
And only one really was allowed to have legitimate, you know, single game. Everything else was, you know, parlays and lotteries and all this nonsense. I mean, it was the fact that PASPA was passed in the first place is just an exercise in what is just prima facie corruption has to be.
Right.
I mean, you can't, because it was in, from its inception, it was in direct violation of Article 4, Section 2 of the Constitution, which reads that the citizens of the individual states are entitled to all the privileges and immunities as the citizens of the several states. So I don't know how a law gets passed that is in completely contravenes and contradicts that one sentence in Article 4, Section 2. And then it hung around for 25 years. So the thing, and then what's going to happen after that is that because, you know, when the investment contracts are determined to be securities, then the Wire Act is going to be the next one to go, because the Wire Act is also bad law.
Right.
So look for that.
So take us through what Chris Christie did to its final conclusion.
Well, there was Christie 1 and then there was Christie 2, and they tried a million different ways to get around it. And it eventually made it to the Supreme Court. And, you know,
what was Christie 1?
Oh man, it's been a while now. Christy, they wanted. I'd have to check.
So in
on
sport,
that.
It was this kid Christie, who's a lawyer by trade. He's in New Jersey, and he's had
he was
a
the
hard
governor.
Career.
He was the governor.
Huh. He was the governor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it ended up being Murphy versus
right.
Department of
right.
Justice.
Pat Murphy, right? Prem, yeah. And then the governor's in New Jersey because of casino interest, right?
Another thing that people don't understand is that these markets have nothing to do with casinos. They have nothing to do with casinos whatsoever because there's no correlation between a negative edge, closed system casino gambling model and a supply and demand adjusting open dynamic model like sports. You know, sports right. is like a financial market, and casinos is, you know, you can't win eventually, and you can't be, there's no, and I saw this one time, I was watching a congressional hearing, and they were talking about online poker actually at the time.
Right.
And one of the congressmen that was asking the questions, he made a very salient point. You know, there's no such thing as a professional craps player. There's no such thing as a professional roulette player. There's no such thing as a professional slot machine player. Blackjack, you can put the odds in your favor now and until the perpetual shoe comes, which is going to be eventually, it's going to come, and then all the edge will come out of that as well. And interestingly enough, when we're talking about blackjack, the App Store banned the Wolf Line from having an app. Apple did, and said we're in violation of Rule 22.5, and said that the Wolf Line was an illegal gambling aid, like card counting for sports betting. So I don't know. I don't know how they came up with that. It's partially true because it's based on probabilities, but it's not. It's a very flimsy analogy. And again, our stuff is based on, you know, there's two ways to trade. One is the fundamental analysis with fundamental data, and the other side is the technical analysis with technical data. And we're the only ones that offer the technical analysis side, where you would hear, you know, words like support and resistance and overbought and oversold and stuff like that. So we use terminology that, you know, we'll use the gambling terminology too, just so everybody gets, you know, migrated over correctly. And then the last part of that is that's necessary because inevitably, I'm not sure exactly when it's going to be, could be next year, could be in 5 years, but we're moving to an exchange model.
Right.
So people need to get, you know, their heads wrapped around the fact that we're going to go away from the bookmaker / broker dealer model, and we're going to go to the much tighter margin exchange model. And our platform and our products comport extremely well with that or with the bookmaker model. Doesn't
right,
matter.
Right. And a huge outcome for the listener, right, is that we're going to get you 100% prepared, almost over prepared. Now, we're going to prepare you to make money now, but we're also going to prepare you to make money in the future. So you have Christy 1, Christy 2, PASPA passes, right? Or a Supreme Court decision.
It was repealed. It was repealed.
It was repealed, yeah. Right? So it was repealed by the Supreme Court in a conservative Supreme Court. Now, we do know, it came out during the hearings, that our friend, and that's where I ended up reading the book, The Triple Package, because Amy Schumer, her job was the hottest clerks that used to come into Princeton that looked like supermodels. She got them to Brett Kavanaugh. And Brett Kavanaugh loves sports betting. He loves sports betting. He's on the Supreme
Court. Kavanaugh wasn't on that.
He wasn't on the Supreme Court. He is on it now. So any challenge would be challenged. But he wasn't on the Supreme Court then. It was the guy that retired that he replaced. Or Scalia died.
Well, Scalia died, and I believe Kennedy retired. I believe it was
Right.
Kennedy. Yeah,
Kennedy retired.
and then Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She won't be, I don't think, on the bench much longer. And then Breyer, I believe, is 83. And I don't want to come off like I'm a Supreme Court scholar, but I think that that's the way it's going. Clarence Thomas is not exactly a kid either. So, you know, you could see another three.
And on the podcast, we have talked about the Supreme Court because we call it the Supreme Court of betting. And then every game we have a thing. We used to have a guy who was a contrarian, and I used to call him Ruth Bader Ginsburg. He was the contrarian.
Well, And again, the next one on the list is the Wire Act. That's very important. And the Wire Act, I mean, that's you can't, when you're looking at the sports markets, by definition, it's a federal issue. It has to be.
Right.
You know, everything is across state lines, and you know it would be tantamount to say to be state by state. I mean, they're basically saying the same thing as, okay, you have to be a resident of New York to make a trade on the New York Stock Exchange, or you have to be a resident of Illinois to make a trade on the Chicago board, on the CBO, you know, which is absurd. So what happens and what is inevitable will be a centralized trade execution routing system where you're going to get a best bid offer type system. And it's going to just route your order to the best execution source, just like in anything, just like any
right.
financial market.
Right.
And there are at this time right now, there are 60, just to give you the size, there's approximately 60 million retail online financial trading accounts.
Wow.
60. So that's one out of every four adults in the country. So when that inevitably you get sports to be an underlying asset and or instrument and an asset class, you know, you're just going to pull up you know, your brokerage on your screen or on your phone or whatever it is, and most likely to be on your phone because that's what everything is done on now these days. And you're going to see equities, you're going to see bonds, you're going to see options, you're going to see futures, and you're going to see sports. And in order to have that ability to execute, you need to have a robust analytics, you know, quantitative analytics half to give you a reason to engage, to give you a quantitative call to action to say, okay, for me, this is, you know, this looks to be, this relationship looks to be
that's huge.
Skewed
no, no, no.
or fat.
That's like huge. That. No, that's huge, right? And I want to hit two points that we give the listeners and our followers and our cult following since our podcast has increased. And thank you to everybody who's been telling their friends and neighbors and everybody's getting on here that we keep increasing every single week since we started in September. So, but
I got to tell you real quick too, Josh, what kind of bothers me is that now you have these sports betting quote, you know, media companies coming out and they're calling themselves,
that's what I was getting
they're
to.
Calling them, right. They're calling themselves the CNBC of sports betting because they think it sounds smart,
right.
You know? And the truth is that none of them have any resources whatsoever that have anything to do with the juxtaposition of financial trading over to sports. So
right.
I get offended by
another,
that personally.
Huge, huge part you add to our game. That's why I'm so excited that you bring that piece. And the other piece we bring, and that you're the same way, is that we are 100% transparent. You can track every single pick. And if we're not way above 52.5%, we're providing you no value. And another thing is, we do not ask you for any money. We don't ask you for your email address. We don't want anything from you because we make our own money with our own businesses and with our picks. Because one of the chords Greg and I just hit on, and I think it bothers us on a personal level, you've been watching this your whole life, man, since you placed your first bet when you were 7 years old, is that we hate tricksters and hate people who are full of crap.
That's all they are. And you look on there, and it has me scratching my head because You know, I remember being, again, like you said, a 7-year-old kid was when I made my first sports bet. And there used to be a show called The NFL Today with Brent
Right.
Musburger and Jimmy DeGreek.
Right.
Right? And
You grew up
basically,
on that.
this
you are looking
this
live.
Is what, yeah, this is what they're regurgitating, and they think that it's somehow novel or so.
It's an insult.
In any way, it really is. I mean, it's like, you know, we're living in 2020. We have drones flying around and robots doing brain surgery, and the sports betting content is 40 years old. It's
right.
anachronisms.
Right.
You know,
that's
meanwhile, you come over.
Way ahead
you come
of the
over.
Game.
Yeah, you come over to our platform, the Wolf Line, and we have machine learning, quantitative pattern recognition screeners where you get it goes mows through all, you know, you put in your criteria, it mows through all the sports, all the markets, you get email alerts back to your, I mean, anything that any feature that you're going to get on any financial platform, you're going to get at thewolfline.com. That's how I build it.
Now,
because you can
in
just
the alert,
move.
I think it's now. Let me know what you think, Greg. But I think the alert is huge, right? If you're not a degenerate and you're mm-hmm. doing this the correct way, all right, you're working in your business. Thursday night game is coming. You're working on a client, but you get an alert, right, to remind you of a game you want to monetize or
right because and in essence, the alert is coming from yourself.
Exactly.
Because you were the one that first put in the criteria, and the machine doesn't care. It's
right.
gonna and what the what's that that's gonna do is it's gonna save you from the most insidious enemy that you can have in any kind of speculative market, and that's your own emotional weakness.
Exactly.
And you know, there's a guy named Jim Simons. Maybe some people have heard about him. You know, he basically changed the entire financial markets. By, you know, introducing the quantitative trading model. A book just was written, many books are written about him, but one just came out that called him the man that solved the markets. You know, and his big thing is, you know, if you take the emotion out of it, then, you know, you're way ahead of the game. And if
right,
you can.
Right. Well, I don't know if you read our top 10 rules
weakness.
Of betting. Our top 10 rules of betting, and I sent you a link and I want to know what you think. Rule number one is, never bet on your own team, right? Because your own team is like your kid, and we do a lot of decision science here. You overestimate mm-hmm. your decisions when emotions are involved.
Yeah, and you can't. That's the killer, man. The emotion, and you know, it happens in any kind of. Again, it doesn't even have to be in a market. It can be in social situations. It can be in you know. Emotions tend to cloud judgment, and
absolutely.
When you're trying to have a clear mind with your decision science, which is what it all comes down to, then you know having a completely emotionless screener, again with machine learning and alerts and those things helping you, you know. Make the decisions for you that you already made. So you're just teaching the machine what you want. Then the machine says, okay, we'll figure this out. And then we'll let you know when what you want comes back and you know, how, whatever your potential, your particular personal risk tolerance is and confidence interval, then you switch from there and you say, okay, if I get this particular alert, you know, then I'll put X amount on this trade. If I get this particular alert, then I'll put 2x on this particular trade, whatever. You have to have a plan.
Right.
You have to have a plan.
No, awesome. Awesome, man. Man, this has been a great podcast introducing you as we get deeper the next 4 weeks, and then we'll get into baseball and we'll apply the Wolf Line to baseball. All right. And number
as
one,
soon
we'll,
as soon as the raw yeah. data. As soon as the raw data is available, right now we just have a kind of a placard holder, you know, on the website because there's no raw data, so there's no user interface that we can show. So you know what we basically do is we take a cow and we put it through our patented process, which is the internationally patented process, and we turn the cow into hamburgers, and then we give you the hamburgers. That's the basic analogy. So as soon as that as we get our raw data feed up, then you know baseball will be up, or football will be up, and all the rest. And we're looking at another feed that will actually go and include many of the marginal sports that you don't normally see. A lot more soccer leagues, you know, Korean baseball, you know, Russian hockey, you know, cricket, whatever. I mean, there's over 33,000 sports assets globally with markets made on them in over 1,000 leagues. And because it's quantitatively structured, it doesn't matter. We can do all those. So, you know, we have an opportunity here of sports really becoming one of the most significant financial markets in the world, especially since it's so similar to foreign exchange relationship markets and the options made on those. And that's a $6 trillion a day market.
Wow.
With only 7 major pairs, and the increment is 1/100th of a penny, called pip. So, you know,
no, and
there's a lot of upside
expanding with a Spanish podcast, and that the soccer league will be very, very, very interesting to our Spanish audience. And we'll wrap up.
Oh, they
up
love
the
it.
Next,
yeah, it's future.
We'll get. It's going to be. We're structuring this like a master class, all right? And we'll get into a lot of technicals in the next 4 weeks. This has been an introductory podcast, but extremely educational to a lot of people, all right? And number one rule of betting that we have, top 10 rules of betting, we'll have a link. We'll have a link to the Wolfline as well. And link to introductional videos that Greg has. But the number two rule of betting, it's always do your research. You can't get better research than the Wolfline. Now, first report, our PhD from the Philadelphia Eagles has gone through every single baseball team and given you a rundown of each team, all right? He's going to update us tomorrow on what's going on with baseball. We got the local political corruption, which answers a lot of what Greg was talking about, how laws get made. It starts at the local level. We got a lot of information for you on that. We'll have college football preview and NFL previews, and everything comes from a sports betting angle. And remember, betting is, and it's going to get to that point where it's more clear and it's going to be legal. Betting is a contract, right? It is a securities contract. You monetize and you use business and financial concepts and decision science in order to predict the outcome, right? On a level that's between 52.5 and 80%. All right. Sounds good, Greg. What are final words?
Yeah, I hope that the terms that I used so far, I hope I didn't lose anybody on anything. We'll
no,
go
no,
forward.
You won't.
I can
you won't.
Email,
they're used to it with us, and we'll go into
wolf,
detail in the next podcast. We'll go into detail for them. Yeah, we'll go into detail into those terms.
Okay,
we'll break
that's
it down
fine.
For people.
Yeah.
Like the college professor.
And again, like you said, Josh. Right. Yeah, and I have content
all
that
right.
I can put up for people that are interested in textual content, and you know, we'll go from there. Looking forward to a lot of great shows.
Yeah, same here. And I always close Winston Churchill because we don't try for anything. You're never going to hear any ads here. And it's you make a living. Winston Churchill got us through World War II, the greatest generation. You make a living from what you do, how you provide value in the marketplace, but you make a life from what you give. Thank you for listening to the ES. I'm the best there is.